T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Third down and a long 4 across the Houston 10. Big play here. Breeze in the gun. Breeze gets the snap. He's got time. He fires left side of the end zone. Caught. Hill. Touchdown, Saints.
Wow.
Second and 12 at the Houston 14. Breeze in the gun. Kamara to his left. Breeze gets the snap. Breeze scrambles out to the right side. Throws to the end zone and caught. Touchdown, New Orleans. Traquan Smith with the reception. And the Saints take the lead. 3 seconds on the play clock. Here's the snap. Breeze stepping up, and he fires left side downfield, and he's got a man at the 50, down at the 45-yard line. Ted Ginn as Colvin makes the hit.
Mark Vandermeer, Andre Ware on the call for Texans Radio, and that last play, the 41-yarder to Ted Ginn, led to a field goal by Lutz that made it 27-21 deep into the game last night in New Orleans. And let's break it down, man. In terms of Aaron Colvin, who, by my estimation, and we can debate the Taysom Hill touchdown, but he was on Traquan Smith when he scored. He was on Ginn when he caught that ball. He was at least 50% culpable for the touchdown to Taysom Hill, who's a quarterback beating you in the end zone. I'm having a hard time getting over that. But, Clint, what happens at slot corner going forward? Because I'm ready for the Texans to turn the page from number 22.
First of all, the opponent goes down. The talent that you're up against goes down significantly. The amount of time that you're going to need to be in a nickel or a dime defense goes down significantly. So let's make the point that this week the Saints aren't on the schedule, and so first and foremost, you need less Aaron Colvin because of what's fixing to get thrown at you. And if they do throw some 11 personnel, which they may do, a good offensive staff in Jacksonville would definitely go into some 10 and some 11 and do more of what the young quarterback in Jacksonville did at Washington State, which is a little more spread, which is your air raid style of ball. So I would think that Minshew would see would have a little different package maybe than what Foles had on the offensive side of the ball. But nonetheless, you're not going to see the opponent, the caliber opponent that you saw week one with the Saints. Now, with that said, they're pretty damn good. They get paid too. They're professionals too. They're going to come in here and be ready to rock and roll. Now, you know, I believe it's not rocket science. I believe it's what we've mentioned multiple times, and it's some form or fashion, you've got to mix in Lonnie Johnson, Bradley Roby, and J.J.O. Those got to be your top three corners moving forward. Now, if that means that in obvious pass situations you can only play certain coverages, then because you don't want to expose a young fellow Lonnie Johnson in some kind of zero coverage or some kind of man-to-man coverage versus Michael Thomas or versus a top-tier receiver in this league, then so be it. You got to limit your packages that you can play on the back end, the coverages that you can play behind the corners. But moving forward, I would expect to see a heavy dose of Lonnie Johnson, Bradley Roby, and Jonathan Joseph moving forward in your nickel package. Now you get into dime, now you're in trouble. Now you're in a position where it's going to be hard to keep 22 off the field. You got to get him in the game at that point in time, but that means he may be matched up against a back or matched up against a tight end or something of that nature. He can't be in the game to the point where these offensive coordinators can set up and get strategically their best receiver on your worst defender in the secondary.
Let me ask you about the panic button with Aaron Colvin. Are you ready to pounce upon the panic button, or are you hanging in there? You always tell me, Tricky Rick, pump the brakes, but I have hit the panic button with Aaron Colvin. And a major shout-out to John McClain. We were in Green Bay. What was that, a month ago?
Yep.
We're in Green Bay. John McClain writes an article for the Chronicle about Aaron Colvin's job is in jeopardy, and you and me kind of looked at each other like, yeah, maybe we're not hating this take, but wow, that's strong. Based on the contractual status, it's a $10 million-plus cap hit this year. The Texans potentially good news for you fans driving around Houston right now, have a basically clean out from his four-year contract after this season. Okay, so that's there. They can hit the escape hatch on Aaron Colvin after this year, and it's not going to buzzkill the salary cap. But you're kind of stuck with him this year. Are you ready to hit the panic button with Aaron Colvin?
Yeah, I mean, I am, because here's where I mean, everything, when I watch the Texans play, I want to evaluate them and discuss them based off of where they are relative to the New Orleans Saints. Where are they relative to the Rams? Where are they relative to the Kansas City Chiefs and those caliber teams? And so would he be okay this week? I'm sure. Would he be okay against the Titans? Probably be all right. You know, I don't know. They got a nice little slot. Kid came from Tampa Bay. But it's not what the Texans, I mean, what the Saints can throw at you, because Drew Brees ain't pulling the trigger. But would he be okay throughout the year? Probably be all right. But when it's all said and done, this team is in 2019 should be playing and making decisions based on how do you beat New Orleans? How do you beat San Diego? How do you beat Kansas City and the Rams? How do you beat those caliber teams, not how do you get through a 16-game season?
So in terms of Aaron Colvin, a major problem for me, Clint, is it's mental mistakes and physical mistakes. It's both. It's not a pre-snap penalty. It's not just the mental mistake of backing off the line of scrimmage, allowing Ted Ginn to get that catch that sets up the field goal. I mean, just getting flat outrun by Ted Ginn on the 40-plus yard gain, on the drive before the final. I mean, that's a physical issue.
Ted Ginn's going to outrun a lot of slot corners in this league. I hate to break it to you. You know, again, on that.
I know he's still in the league.
Here's the deal. And look, I mean, I want to make it loud and clear. I don't know that the Taysom Hill touchdown was his fault. I don't know if they were supposed to trade that off. If they were supposed to trade it off, it was a poor-ass job by him and Bradley Roby. If they were supposed to stick to it, to the whoever they had, then it was on Bradley Roby, because that was not who Colvin was lined up over. That was not his responsibility off the snap. And so there's a good chance that's just as much Bradley Roby on that Taysom Hill touchdown as it is Aaron Colvin. The deep ball to Ted Ginn, hell, man, look, there ain't a slot corner in this league that Ted Ginn ain't running by. Now, there may be a different approach of getting physical at the line of scrimmage and affecting him that way.
Yes,
but
yes.
If you're in a position, he's going to run by you. And in that particular play, the safety that was supposed to be in the middle field, he vacated the middle of the field and made that throw possible. That throw's not possible up over the top like that if the safety's in the middle of the field. Now, again, I just hesitate to pin those two plays on Aaron Colvin and go, damn it, you can't play. Now, the other stuff where guys are consistently creating 3 and 4 yards of separation and allowing easy throws from Drew Brees, that's a problem. The lack of confidence in your play at the end of that game on that very last play, the lack of awareness of understanding that specific situation, those are the things that concern me, because there's teams on this schedule that are going to take advantage of that, and they're going to go – the duck on the pond is going to be 22, and they're going to go get him. And so he's either got to improve dramatically from week one to week two, or the Texans have to find an answer.
And here's the thing about week two. You'll hear the game right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. It'll be a nooner on Sunday against the Jags, who suffered a defeat to the Kansas City Chiefs, who could have had 50 or 60 against them. It was that kind of game. But, Clint – the Jaguars slot receiver is D.D. Westbrook, and they have D.J. Chark, who made a couple of really big plays in that game, and Chris Conley, who came over from Kansas City. He's their other outside receiver. D.D. Westbrook gets busy, had a good year last year, caught a touchdown in the game against Kansas City. That worries me if Aaron Colvin is trying to check D.D. Westbrook, because I think, again, that would be a mismatch.
Yeah. Look, I mean, whether their slot receiver, quote unquote slot receiver, is the mismatch or not, whoever their best receiver is, and it may not be statistically their best receiver, it may be the best receiver they have that can run routes and create separation. NFL coordinators are going to find a way to get him matched up on 22, and it's going to be a problem. The only good thing moving forward is next week you don't have Drew Brees, you don't have a Hall of Famer play caller, and you don't have a Hall of Famer taking snaps. And so it's going to lessen the blow, but it's still going to be a problem. And so I would use the Jacksonville game as an opportunity. Now, assuming that Lonnie Johnson is in a position to where he's mentally ready to handle an entire game plan I would throw the young guy to the Wolves. I mean, you obviously don't want to put him in a position to where you lose the game because of a knee-jerk reaction to week one. You don't want to lose the Jacksonville game. But I think it's safe to say at this point, inserting Lonnie Johnson into this game more than 22 at this point in time, I think is a good idea. Now, I don't know if that's moving Bradley Roby around or if that's moving J-Jo around. I don't know that that's a bad idea. You've got to make the adjustment because guess who you got to go see week three?
It's the Chiefs, right?
No, it's San Diego, L.A. Chargers. It's
your boy, Philip Rivers.
It's Philip Rivers. You got to go
and
see Philip Rivers. Guess what Philip Rivers is? He's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He's a gunslinger.
Guess what Philip Rivers is? He's going to notice the duck on the pond, and he's going to attack that sucker. So you better use the Jacksonville game to figure out an approach to where you can, at the very least, limit the number of times that you have to have Aaron Colvin on the field in critical situations. And if you don't, you better change the style of play, and he better get up in some guys' grills and not give up 4 and 5 and 6 yard gains in critical situations like he did against the Saints.
That's all I'm saying. I want to see more of Lonnie Johnson and less of Aaron Colvin. We'll see how it works out against the Jags. And let's take a phone call here. Let's get Houston into the conversation. Clint on a Reaction Tuesday presented by Coors Light. Jeff from Corpus Christi, get in here. You're on with Clint and Kamla.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Been listening to y'all since y'all started up on the air. And, man, love you guys. Love it.
Thank you.
Look forward to listening to you guys, man. Really, really awesome. Colvin was with Jacksonville. Yeah, he's playing out of position right now. If you were Rack right now, what do you do with him this weekend and next weekend? I know you talked about moving him around. You just can't put him where he played last night. It's not going to work either with the Chargers, the Patriots, or Jacksonville, whoever it is. I just don't think he's made to play there. He got smoked. I mean, bad. What do we do? What's the next move? And in consideration, the money thing, too, to the end of the season – I mean, if you were a Rack, Clint, what do we do with him?
Well, you got to experiment, man. I mean, I just don't know. What I would do is change, right? I mean, that's the thing is you can't go into game two doing the same thing that you did in game one. And him playing the slot is, I mean, I thought that's what he was. I thought he was a slot corner. I thought that was his expertise. I thought that's what his skill set was here for. I thought that's what the Texans purchased when they went and got Aaron Colvin. Now, if you're gonna be a predominant zone team and move him outside, if you don't feel good about Lonnie Johnson, move him outside, and then he can use the sideline to his advantage. And receivers only have a one way go. The slot corner is a monster in today's game. There's no doubt about it. The slot defender is an absolute monster in today's game because receivers have. One, coordinators are smart enough to expose you and put their best receiver in the slot. We saw Hopkins do it last night, made some plays from the slot. That's going to happen. And so now you've got that third best defender with a two-way go up by the receiver. He's in trouble. He better be really, really good. I would expect them to move Bradley Roby into the slot at least from time to time and start getting Lonnie Johnson in the game. I believe that Colvin is definitely in the mix. I believe he's in your two deep at this point. I don't think he's at a point where they can cut him, but I do believe that you've got to make a change. I'm a change guy, man. Don't let me see the same thing. I can't blame you. If you change wrong, then we can change again, but don't let me see the same defense week two that got torched week one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.